Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Imagine a world where bullying isn't considered a normal part of childhood.
A world where I'm not afraid to go to school.
To speak out.
To be myself.
A world where I'm not afraid to be caught alone.
Come on, punk. We have the power to stop the bullying.
Speak out.
Speak up.
Educate.
Find out what to look for and how you can make a difference at bullying.org.
Bullying is not kids being kids.
It's not about good homes or bad homes.
It's not a normal part of growing up.
I shouldn't be afraid to get out of school.
To turn on my computer.
A walk to my locker.
Did you know that a bully will stop his or her behavior in 10 seconds when their peers speak up?
Use your voice.
Hey, leave him alone.
We have the power to stop bullying.
Find out more at bullying.org.
Bullying.org.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimke Center for Wholeness. Ahimke is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimke is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimke Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimke mind management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimke.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimke Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Hey folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
Yes, Carly Jackson. Thank you for that reminder. Thank you for letting us know who we are, what we are, how we are, so we can surrender. We can just trust the process, especially if we want to choose love one frame at a time. It's all about surrendering. Get ready. Click, click. Yes, indeed. We'll be right back.
What am I to do? What am I to feel? Oh, I am
my soul surrender. Are you going to let your soul surrender? It's not a one-off thing. You keep surrendering and keep surrendering and keep surrendering because there's so much more. You just keep dropping down. You know, like now that you got hydraulics on your consciousness. Ooh, and the deeper you go, you're like, ooh, I'm feeling something here. I don't even have a definition for it. Let my soul surrender. Stand by, smile or don't. Click. Choose love. Oh, I didn't like that picture. Yeah, that's okay. Let's take another one. That's the journey of life, you know. Every moment we take our own pictures. And I'm like, in the old days, we get to process, develop the film. Some of us, we do it in the, well, usually when you, the old films, you did it in the dark. So at night, we process our own pictures, our own film. And we're not always happy about what we see. We're a bit sad and maybe even think we can't capture that moment again because it's gone. And we take that to bed and we wake up like, oh, I'm a bad photographer. But today we want to empower you to take different pictures. As a matter of fact, we just want to empower you to take pictures. And no matter how it shows up, embrace it. Let it teach you. Let it inspire you. Let it support you in surrendering. Ricky Byers Beckwith. Let my soul surrender. I just had another thought about that title. That's really what it is, really, because deep down, you know, we say, I can't just want to get rid of my ego. Well, basically, if you want to get rid of your ego, make your transition. You can look at that from many angles. But the truth is, stop fighting your ego. Stop fighting what's showing up. Stop fighting life. And surrender. You can find Ricky Byers Beckwith on, well, her virtual home, RickyBB.com, RickyBB.com, or WeLetItBe.com. WeLetItBe.com is where you can find Ricky, her virtual home. You can also find her at Agape, doing her thing, expressing herself, choosing love, one note at a time. click, click. good afternoon, good evening, good night. Good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to yourself first. And then following your soul's guidance to tune in to Life Conversations Radio. You make a difference, you know. And yes, this is the place where change begins and change is inspired. We're inspiring you to be more of who you are. We're inspiring you to show up. We're inspiring you to see yourself in a whole new way through the eyes of God. I am your host, Life Coach Ade. I am your host. I am the Naughty Professor. I'm the Metaphysical Rebel. I am that I am. And there's nothing you can say about it. That's right. Because I'm choosing love. Click, click. I'm going to start using that now. I like that. I am that I am. I am that I was. I am that I am. I am that I will be. Ooh, I need a singer. Oh, I can sing in a minute. A singer. I am that I was. I am that I am. I am that I will be. All right, let's put that into music. Yeah, maybe we can, yeah, hopefully, Cynthia's listeners. Cynthia, if you want to collaborate with me, Cynthia James, call. Yep, that's right. Cynthia, if you want to collaborate with me, call me. Call my people. I am that I was. I am that I am. I am that I will be. Oh, my God, that was good. I'm such a great singer. That's right. because I say so, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show on lifeconversationsradio.com. February, this is the month where our theme is loving what is. And we're supporting you to love what is. Not just loving love, but just don't even have a definition. Just loving what is. Loving yourself. Loving the stuff that's showing up. Loving the challenges that are showing up. That's why I can you love challenge. But you know, when you love a challenge, the challenges will say, oh, God, I can't deal with this love. All this hugging and kissing, too much for me. Because you know, challenges are grumpy. You're just like, I'm getting out of here. All these spiritual people, they just love to love everything. And then your challenge says, oh, wait, that kind of feels good. Let me just relax. What a deep concept to choose love. And your challenge is going to go, you know, we're all in this together. Because what you embrace dissolves, you know, just moves on. You don't even remember it. But what you resist, it just keeps punching back. Come back at you. Oh, you think you're bad, huh? Take this. Oh, you do meditation? Take that. But when you say, it's okay, I'm not here to fight. Oh, you're boring. So don't resist. Allow. Resistance, fear. Allowing, love. And if you're resisting right now, it's okay. You're just developing your spiritual muscle. So either way, you can't lose. Now, it's time to bring in Celeste Morgan. My guest is in their house, Kyle Studner, the author of Click. I like Click, Click. Click, Click. That's not his name. That's not the name of the book. That's what I'm making it be. So let me just read the title, and then I'll give you my version. Because it's kind of like that sometimes. Click, Click. You know, the thing happens, and then you catch it. You see the camera, and you're like, oh, my God, I hate cameras. Or somebody you don't like show up, click, and then your thoughts click. Anyway, Click, choosing love, one frame at a time. Celeste, you better be ready. Click, Click. You're live.
I am so ready, and I'm ready for this conversation with you and Carl Studner.
I am too.
I'm working on my fashion model, you know, thing right now.
Work it, girl. What's that song going
on?
What's
better work?
That song?
Come
gotta
through.
Work.
Yeah. Okay, look. Breaking out with RuPaul. I love this show. All right, let me get to your announcements. Hello, family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach a Day radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach a Day radio show and lifeconversationsradio.com. You can find a nutty professor, a.k.a. Life Coach a Day, right here from Monday through Wednesday from 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach a Day. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Life Coach a Day and Carl can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1. Now, if you can't call in, post your questions on the Ask Life Coach a Day fan like page. Please be sure to create a new posting. We want to make sure we get to you. Now, if you don't do Facebook or you can't get on Facebook, go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, hover on the Life Conversations Radio menu. Then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach a Day button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moments with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day on the Ask Life Coach a Day radio show. Also, you can email Life Coach a Day any time of the day, and he will answer your questions on the air. The email address is ask@lifecoachaday.com. The theme for the month of February is loving what is, and we have wonderful guests coming up that will help shift you one conversation at a time. Tomorrow, Life Coach Day is flying solo to talk to you about loving what is. We also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. Be sure to join Ambassa Safira for the play experience on Thursdays at 7. Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Day air on the last Wednesday of the month. And be sure to join me for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. You can go to lifeconversationsmedia.com for more information about those shows. You also have another place to find Life Coach Today and myself. Donna DeLuca and Tara Antler are putting on the Living Abundance Summit. And you can find Life Coach Today on Thursday, February 7th at 12 p.m. Eastern. He'll be discussing how you can resource with Source. I'll be there on Saturday, February 9th, taking you on an elemental journey to abundance with the number 8. For more information, go to http://eit.ly/resource with source. And it will take you to the site, and I'll be sure to also put the link in the chat room. Also, the Ask Life Coach Today radio show is syndicated on Within Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. Finally, you have an opportunity to contribute to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. Go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, then hover, don't click, on the Life Conversations radio menu. Then click the Ask Life Coach Today drop-down menu, and you will see a donate button on the right-hand side. No amount is too small, and we thank you for being a blessing. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Today.
Life Coach Today is back. Now we're dropping out some smooth jazz with Celeste Morgan. So Celeste, what's the next selection we're playing? I think we want to do a little bit of Chuck Benson, don't you think?
Give me the night. I'm done.
And what's your name again?
My name is Celeste Morgan. Thank you.
Celeste Morgan. I'll be back at round one.
That's right. Oh, what did Carl walk into? Do you think they told him we were crazy?
Well, listen, you remember what I said to you. The whole world is crazy, and if you think you're not, then you're in trouble. So the best thing is to just join them. He can choose love one frame at a time. He's not afraid. I mean, come on.
I think
he's
it's ready to bring
this.
Him in now. I love it.
All right, thanks, Celeste.
My pleasure.
Click, choosing crazy now. If you think you ain't crazy, you're crazy. If you know you're crazy, you're free. Woo, yes. Only crazy people stand in front of a camera and say, take a picture of me. I have no issues. I love how I don't have to smile, right? Yes, I am so grateful for this moment. I'm excited about my conversation with Carl because I love having this kind of conversations with men. There's something about it for me. Yeah, I love having a conversation with females, but, you know, y'all kind of get it. You're still working through your stuff, but you kind of get it, you know. But sometimes, us brothers, we get it, we just don't want to share it. So when a brother comes and wants to share it with me, I'm just like, woohoo! what did I do now? Well, what I'm going to do now is continue to create this loving presence, this energy, and talking about females and male, the feminine and the masculine, the heart and the intellect, the heaven and the earth, all of that. Let's bring on somebody else real quick, because it's all about the awakened couple. And of course, if you don't know, Carl Studner is the other whole of the relationship known as Cece, Carl and Cynthia. Just stop making up stuff and get to the point.
It's not my business. This is my show.
Anyway, Cynthia James is the other whole in the relationship that embodies Carl and Carl Studner. So it just makes sense. And since Carl likes to work with the light, it's all about the reflection. The reflection of the subject, the reflection from within. I mean, and some of us forget when we have the opportunity to allow that light to be reflected. We're just like, no, stop it. But Cynthia James said, you're standing in the light. Relax. Let my husband click, click, and choose love with you. We'll be right back. If you're Dave, you can't hide. You better pop. Click, click, choosing love.
You can't run. You sure can't hide. The thing you fear will chase you down.
Try to hold that note, so I won't. All right, let me bring a call. I love that. It's all about listening. This is what spirits need to play. So I said yes, standing in the light. And I don't know if Carl does this already, but Carl, when you come in, I'm going to ask you if I remember, or you can remind me if I forget. If you have difficult people, you just play that song. Oh, hold on, this is part of my ritual. But anyway, let me tell you a little bit about Kyle. You're standing in the light. Go get you some. As a matter of fact, you are it. But if you need the reminder, which you do, because there's so much going on, check out Cynthia's website, CynthiaJames.net. CynthiaJames.net is where you can find, well, it's a virtual home for Cynthia and all the great things that she's doing. We're talking about the awakened couple. In the words of Richard Moss, yes, that's what we evolve into, where we come together and create something bigger. Let me read a little some about my friend, myself, my brother, who's joining us, Kyle Studner. Kyle Studner, world-renowned photographer, inspirational speaker, teacher, and author. Carl's intimate portraits of influential people ranging from Paul McCartney to Marianne Williamson, Michael Bernard Beckwith, Elton John, the list goes on and on, to His Holiness Dalai Lama, are published and known worldwide. His innovative work, The Looming Essence Method, teaches new paradigm for radiating the light that resides within, allowing it to fully express, empowering its energy, as it inspires and reveals each person's authentic gift. To find out more about Carl, his website address is clickchoosinglove.com. clickchoosinglove.com. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my brother, my friend, my guest. He's not a guest. We've known each other eons and eons ago, but he's myself. His name is Carl. Come on, ladies, get excited. Pay attention. There we go. Carl Sudner.
Eons and eons and eons, Aid.
Right.
Well, I just got a huge smile on my face. Brother, you are the light, man. You are just glowing and radiating it out there.
Thank you. You know, you and your wife are supporting us to remember that. So why not? And she just said, you can't run, you can't hide. You might as well give it up. You're standing
in
the light.
That's it.
And then you said, but I don't want to be seen. You're like, oh, smile, relax, get in the flow, click, choose love. So I'm excited about our conversation. I feel like it's happened already, and this is just a recording of what happened in consciousness. So,
absolutely.
I'm excited to hear what we talked about.
Well, you know what's interesting is that your way of being and your light and joyful and playful way is quite often how I am with people when I'm photographing. And so in listening to you before I came on just now, it was a reflection of, oh yeah, I'm very familiar with this, you know, this way of expressing my individual light and expression. And so, man, I relate to you.
Yes, we are related. I just love the conversation we had. Okay, so anyway, I've been really looking forward to talking with you, and I can see why now, and I thank you for being here. And now we're just going to involve the listeners so they can find out how deep we can get.
Ooh.
But we'll just break them click by click, one frame at a time. So the first question I must ask you, there's so many questions I have here, but I got to ask you this question, you know, so that we just get to, you know, you and I get to reintroduce ourselves to one another. Who are you?
Let's be linear for a moment.
Yes. Well, linearly expensive. So who are you? Who is Carl Sudner?
Well, where to begin? Well, I see that who I am, as I see who we all are unique emanations of light. And my light, through the time that I started photographing, has been really had the honor of using a camera as this amazing tool for expressing and revealing light. I just see that tool, that instrument, has such amazing potential for simply reflecting and even in some ways bringing stronger the light that it reflects and that it sees. So I see that I am a vehicle, that I'm a reflection and a tool for revealing the light that is all around us. And whether it's with people or whether it's with nature or landscapes, my emphasis and my focus is on the sacredness and on the beauty and on what I see as the truth of our nature, which is that light and how it expresses so individually in each of us.
I listen to you, and I'm just going to let the conversation flow. It's that that authentic self, our natural self, our light. It seems, you know, I'm going to shine the light on me and through me, because I really know that's how I can really get it out clearly. What I'm trying to say is, when I look at my life, when we talk about being authentic, being intimate, being real, sometimes I question if I'm afraid of my realness. What I mean by that is, it's because there are times when I want to cover myself, when I want to say, no, don't take a picture of me, not literally, but just metaphorically. Don't look at me. I don't want to express that side of myself. That appears too weak. A man is not supposed to be like that. And I know females have their own stuff that they go through, but there's something about our uniqueness that seems so fragile, so delicate, that somehow we've been conditioned to protect it. So when we have the opportunity, or if we, sometimes it just happens naturally without even trying, we either kind of say, oh my God, I don't know what that was about. Oh, excuse me. You know, we say, oh, that's woo-woo, you're too sensitive. You know, I don't have a question right now. I'm just going to throw it to you for you to share what's bubbling up.
Yeah.
Because I just want to just throw it, no question, just throw it over to you. But I'm catching as we
relate. Yeah, I totally get it. And, you know, before, about an hour ago, I was having all these thoughts coming up. And I really believe that it was just tapping into you, to your essence, and to our conversation. And one thing that I was thinking about was how most of us in school, growing up in school, at least in the States here, public schools, you know, we don't generally learn how to honor ourselves or even be in touch with who we are or what our unique and individual gifts are. You know, we grow up being taught information and memorizing information, and certainly a lot of that we need to know for just to navigate in the world, but you know, when you think about what the opportunities of what school could be, you know, I mean, what a concept to be in school to learn about who we are, to learn about what our unique gifts are, what our unique message is to the world, and how little of that we, you know, that we really learn in school. So it's no wonder that as adults, we walk around trying to navigate and feel like we can really get in touch with and own and really express and feel proud of our unique gifts and what we have to offer. So, you know, we're not educated and encouraged in that way. And most parents, now there are parents, I think, today that are certainly growing up and becoming more aware of that. But in my generation's parents and ones before that, I mean, certainly most parents were not even thinking about that. So it's absolutely no wonder that we're all dealing, you know, with this in our own way.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a part of me that says, you know, that's part of the plan. You know, it's what I call the universal hide and seek. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the other part is like, but it, you know, if I am the light, if I am one with God, if I am the essence of love, why is it so challenging? Why do I have to sometimes coach myself to show up? Why do I have to coach myself to say what I'm really feeling? So, but I also do get that, you know, that's the journey, being able to represent myself on this planet as God, as love, as peace, as joy, and being at peace with it so that I become an example. But and that's what the spiritual work is, a life where there's an awakening, when we wake up to the essence of who we are. And, you know, I guess that's what this realm is for, to play around and get to rediscover ourselves. You went to a school where they did help you understand the whole human being, didn't you?
In college I did. Yeah.
In college, okay. I thought you was in like in high school.
In high school, I'm 57 now. So in the early 70s, I was in high school and in West Los Angeles. So it was a pretty progressive place, you know, for more innovative ways of learning and teaching. And so I happened to catch that wave at that time, which was very, very fortunate. And because before that time in grade school, I just thought, I was a fish out of water and I just didn't relate, you know, and, I just thought, well, I don't fit in. Maybe I'm just slow or not getting it or stupid or whatever. And it wasn't until these more innovative ways of teaching started to come into the school system, like sprinkled in certain classes and in the late 60s, early 70s, and I happened to be fortunate to get in some of them where I started recognizing, oh, I do like to learn, but it's experiential learning. It's things that I can relate to, and it's my way of learning. I have a way that I need to be able to understand things and integrate and learn. And it's not the cookie cutter the school system's standard approach. So it wasn't until then that I started really recognizing that it's not that I'm stupid. It's that I just learn things in a different way. And so high school started giving me sprinklings of that and enough classes to start getting inspired, and then by college I chose a college in Northern California, Sonoma State, which was a very experiential school and really focused its emphasis on humanistic ways of learning and humanistic psychology. So it was all around me and just alternative ways of living and learning were just all around, and I got to just create my palette of life and my palette of learning and creativity. And I was in an awesome art program where you could create your own structure with support of wise instructors, and it was like a utopia, like an artist utopia. But you had to have the inner strength and drive in order to do that. There, some people that were still locked into traditional ways of learning couldn't hang with that. It was too open and too unstructured for them. So it took a certain, I think, kind of nature, to be in that. But I thrived in it. So by the time I left there, man, I was certain that what was it. Follow my path of what inspired me and how to continue to stay true to what my gifts are and how I can contribute in the world and be a creative and force of service in the world.
One of the things that I love about doing this radio show or having these conversations, because I tell people it's more than a radio show for me, it's so much. I get to have aha moments, and you shared something earlier. You said something about the experiential learning, and a light bulb went off inside of me, because recently I was talking to some friends, and I was talking about how I learned when I was in school, in high school, and really, I didn't use the word, but yes, I really was feeling like I was stupid. I really felt like I wasn't a learner, but later on in life, I realized. Well, you just from listening to you, I'm seeing that yes, I am more of an experiential learner. If I can experience something, if I can touch it, see it, know, don't just tell me concept. Let me apply it. Oh my God. I tell people all I need to do is show me one time. And something just went up. It's like, wow, all those times I just never heard anybody, I never had anybody take me through that experiential experience.
Yeah.
So it was, and I just thought it was me. And so thank you for that gift.
Absolutely.
Thank you for that gift. I appreciate
that.
Let's talk about the pictures in the book. But before we go to the pictures, I really want to say this, and I just got to share this. I've read a lot of books, and something, I'm one of those people that I don't know why. Actually, well, I for the most part, I read acknowledgments. because for some reason I didn't read yours. So I'm not going to tell that lie. But what I did read was the page where you say you dedicate this book to all teachers and educators of the world who provide tireless service to inspire and ignite the imagination and innate wisdom of young and old. And I remember when I read that, it touched me on such a deep level. Now, I intellectually, I don't know why, but my soul just said, it was like I was hearing the voice of God, the voice of my beloved saying, you know, you're doing good. It's okay. You know, you can let all that stuff, your work is doing what it needs to do. Just keep doing what you're doing. Now, most books, and it's not even a criticism or a judgment, I've seen something like this, but it's something, I don't know, what inspired you to write that? Because sometimes people dedicate it to their family members, to their listeners, to their readers, but there's something about this that touches me, and I'm curious to find out what was the thought behind the thought.
Yeah, well, it's actually right along the lines of what we were just talking about, is that it really was those teachers in starting, well, even as far back as grade school, they weren't significant, but sprinkled in a little bit in grade school, but starting in high school and then certainly in college, it was those teachers that chose to be open and really caring and really be of service, you know, that assisted me in really opening up, feeling trusting enough to open and develop the faith to really explore who I am and what my gifts are and how I can be of the greatest service to the world. And I have such deep regard for those individuals because some of them, especially in high school and one in junior high, they were risking because they were going outside the box. And quick story, one of them in high school, one of the most influential classes I ever took in high school was called Interpersonal Relations, and it was taught by this teacher named Jordan Paul. And then Jordan went on to be a best-selling author, a therapist. And about 4 years ago, I happened to hook up with him on Facebook and noticed that he lived somewhat close to me, and now we're best of friends.
Wow.
But he was willing in the school system to really go outside the box and create a new paradigm that wasn't in that structure. And I know that he was, you know, being pushed and pulled by the, you know, by the system, and so it took a real courage. But those are the kind of teachers that really sparked, you know, that inner awakening in me that had been dormant, that I didn't even know was present. So teachers that are really devoted and especially, you know, I think today where it's, you know, we would have hoped when 30, 40 years ago, I would have envisioned a time. In fact, I thought when this experiential way was coming into the system, I was thinking, oh, that's fantastic. You know, in 40 years, so much of teaching is going to be like that in the system. But then, you know, most of it got cut, and we're back to, you know, we're back to the dark ages in certain ways with the school
right.
system, you know, and with the and lack of funding and all of that. So especially teachers that are still today that are willing to hang in there and fund things themselves, fund certain projects and supplies and still show up and have faith and be underpaid. Man, I mean, that's a tireless, courageous job.
Yes, and it lives on in everybody that they encounter, everybody they interact with. The legacy lives on. We may never know them, but now here you are sharing your story, and someone else will read your book, and you touch them because somebody touched you, and because they were touched. And that's really what life is about, you know.
It is. You know, and how we, each of us in our lives, how we can be in our unique ways, how we can be a mentor or a teacher in some way for others, that we just spark and inspire something in others that gives them the strength and the faith and, you know, that awakens that dormant part for them to feel trusting enough to, you know, to really open and share, you know, each of our unique gifts.
So true, so true. If you're just joining us, my guest, my friend, my brother from eons and eons and eons ago is Kyle Studner. He's the author of Click, Choosing Love, One Frame at a Time. And we're getting ready to go a little bit deeper into the book. We've been reintroducing ourselves to ourselves and how love expressed through it as us. And to find out more about his work, you can go to his website address, which is clickchoosinglove.com, clickchoosinglove.com. And so, Kyle, let's talk about your career as a photographer and what led to the birthing of this book and just your own process of evolution.
Okay. Well, I've always, from the time I was 15, I've always felt this deep connection with photography. And as we were talking about, you know, at 15, 16, I was pretty shy and, you know, just had a close-knit group of friends, but, you know, pretty much kept within myself. And then I came across this medium and realized that, it clicked for me. And I just found that here was a way that I could see things. I realized, oh, I'm seeing things. The ability to see things in frames and to look at something within a certain frame and frame it was making a statement. It was choosing something that you could choose to stand out and just that section, just that area, and then share it with someone else as for whatever reason that it had significance for you, whether you called it art or it had a message about it. And that just turned me on, and I just couldn't get enough of it. And so from that point forward, photography has always been this, you know, medium for being able to express and to show things. And then the more that I developed and grew into it, and then through college, being in this art program I was talking about, and then choosing it as a career because I needed to choose at one point in college whether I was going to major in photography or psychology, and I chose photography because at that time I felt like it just was something that I could see doing for a lifetime in a more passionate way. And then years later, I ended up going back to school and getting a master's in spiritual psychology, but that I apply today in everything I do. So I started my career, and I really wasn't clear on what my niche, you know, what I felt that my niche was. I moved back down to Los Angeles, and I knew what my niche wasn't. I knew it wasn't product shooting or architectural or even fashion. So I just kept narrowing it down and recognized, well, what am I good at? You know, what is it that I naturally do? What am I called to in this medium of photography? And what I kept seeing that I was called to was revealing the essence in things. Okay, showing and imprinting, documenting the essence of things and what we might call the soul or the energy that's emanating from things, and really nurturing that through this medium and allowing it to come out boldly and be seen and felt so that others could look at a photograph. And again, it could be a person, it could be a landscape, it could be looking in the eyes of a deer, wildlife, that everything just seeing and feeling more into the soul of things. And then how can that, through consciousness and through my consciousness, through divine consciousness, how can that be revealed in the fullest way so that then people can look at it and have a deep experience. So it,
yes.
So when I take a picture, you know, it's not just because, oh, I want to take a picture and, you know, and that's nice and look at this, you know, look at this nice picture. I mean, that's part of it, but underneath that, it's really how can I share in the fullest, most expressive and expansive way the essence and the soul of this, whatever it is that's in this frame, and how can that come through in a way that touches people in a deep way. So that's what I kept seeing more and more. That's my niche. So I kept being drawn more to musicians because I was so inspired by music growing up. It was really like my music, listening to music when I was growing up was really like my sanctuary, you know, in a time in a world when I felt pretty isolated and not connected. I felt very connected to music and it gave me joy. And so I was drawn to certain musicians and I just kept gravitating toward different musicians that, especially ones that really inspired me, that I loved their music growing up. And those happened to be different various rock icons, and then making nice connections with some of them because I believe that what I was drawn to about their music was what I was drawn to about who they are, and then they were drawn to who I am because we were operating on similar frequencies.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And that's really a principle. I mean, we talk about it in spiritual terms, and we talk about it like the law of attraction. But you know, I think it's like attracts like. And you know, and then before I know it, I am, you know, photographing Paul McCartney and having wonderful conversations with him and shooting all these different facets and aspects of him and recognizing, oh, you know, I mean, yeah, I'm in awe in a certain way, and we're relating because he influenced me, but beyond that, it's just souls connecting and relating to each other, and you know. So and then I was started being drawn more to different luminaries and different people that were more in a clear way through books, through speaking, bringing just beautiful spiritual principles to the world and photographing and spending time with them. And then here I am writing a book on that.
you discovered how to, you know, do photography and practice the science of the soul and make it look effortless and inspiring others. Yes, I get it. I listen and, you know, I feel like fireworks going on inside of me. Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, just the things you're sharing about, really about the vibrational alignment. I think of how, you know, if we all, and I really do believe this, if we all had the opportunity to view our lives and like as a documentary, but go back in time, we can see the thread. We could see. We could see who, what we here, what we came here to do.
Absolutely.
We can see. It's like, oh, I see why we're drawn to that now.
Yes,
oh, I
yes.
see why I didn't yes. like that. Oh, I see. And but we don't always have the opportunity to have to see our own documentary. We look at others,
yes.
and we might
yes.
say, oh my God, I wish I had that opportunity. But we sometimes forget that. We are living that opportunity, that we've had that we are, everything that we've done, even the things we say we didn't like, the things that was annoying, the things that got on our nerves, was all part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
But because we're living it out, sometimes we get so caught up in the process that we don't see the expression. And there must come a time when we just... You know, when I was looking through your book this morning, something came up for me. Where is it? I wrote it down somewhere. And what it was, it's like too much focus on self will leave us feeling stuck. You know, there's got to come a time where we transcend the me consciousness and embrace the we consciousness. You know, because sometimes in the spiritual community, we're saying we got to do our own work. We got to work on ourselves. I got issues. But there must come a time when you take your issues to the stage of life, saying, "I got issues. So what? Let's
That's
party."
So true. That's so true.
You know,
Yeah.
And then we
yeah.
get to set ourselves free. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and as you were talking about the, you know, I'm putting it in the different words, the seeds being planted when we're young, it was reminding me of, you know, I just told that story with Paul McCartney, but when I was 14 and I rushed home with his first solo album and I'm looking at all these pictures on the cover and on the back, and I'm looking at this one portrait that his wife Linda had taken of he and his young daughter that's nestled in his warm winter overcoat, and they're both looking at the camera, the baby and Paul, and that shot at 14, I remember looking at it and thinking, wow, there's something about this, there's a presence about this, and it invited me, and that soul, that message through that picture invited me in. I felt like he was communicating something. I didn't know what, and the baby was communicating something, and it planted a seed. And part of the seed was, I want to know him. I want to get to know them. I want to get to know them. So, cut to when I drive up to George Lucas's Skywalker Ranch to spend 2 days with him, documenting this video that he's shooting at Skywalker Ranch. The door opens and there's this young woman that opens it and takes me around and shows me the facility and then takes me around and we're going inside and she says, "Oh, let me introduce you to my parents." She takes me up to this trailer. And a light bulb is going off in my head and going, she tells me her name's Mary. And I remember Mary is the name of their first daughter. That's the baby that's on the album cover. So there she is. There she is. She's giving me this tour. She opens the door. There's her parents. And I spend 2 days with all of them. And so the point is that the seed was planted at 14. And whether I was conscious of it or not, I was nurturing this what inspired me? It inspired me. That vision inspired me. That essence of who he was and who she was, even as a baby, inspired me. And then it continued to ignite in such ways that led my life to this point where there I was.
I mean, I have different questions here, but I feel something else happening. I'm loving this because, you know, in your book that you talk about being in the moment, you know, to be seen and trusted and not trusting. You take us through this process of listening and enjoying, or maybe not even enjoying, because sometimes we don't enjoy the moment, but just be in the moment.
Yeah.
Because even sometimes to tell people to enjoy the moment is a condition. No. Stop it. Don't do that. That makes it hard. Enjoy the moment. I can't enjoy this freaking moment.
Yeah, well, that's the same thing as saying to somebody, "Okay, smile," you know, when you're in front of a camera. It's like, yeah, right.
And I want to talk about Dr. Joe's experience. Because that's just pretty powerful. But you know, as I listen to you, I hear even before you ask, I will answer. So you know, when we look at, you know, some people call it, oh yeah, all that spiritual stuff, or woo woo. I don't care. I for me, it really don't matter. You know, when we look at life from that woo woo perspective and really look at life from a broader perspective, you're a videographer. You know, when you zoom out and see that there's so much more to life, you know, you saw that picture. It's like a soul reminder, a soul vision, yes, it woke you up. And the thing is, as an adult, because a soul incarnating as a human being known as Carl Studner, you committed to your own personal growth so you could continue to hear the sound. Now, of us don't do the work, so we don't remember that song. And we wonder, well, my life is not going anywhere. I don't know why I'm here. But for me, what I'm seeing, what I'm experiencing through this conversation is, you know, there's always something when we're a child, it's like a soul vision. It says, here I am, this is why you're here. But we have a choice to make sure, if you will, make sure is not necessarily the best word I can think of right now. Well, that's the best one I can think of. And to make sure that we continue to see the soul vision. And then our lives become an inspiration for others, a reminder that we all have a mission on this planet. And if we be still, if we allow ourselves to stay in the moment or just be and just become present to what is happening, we could start to catch reminders from when we were younger. Say, oh, yeah, I remember I had this picture. I remember when this happened. And it all kind of just comes together nicely. And then we say, oh, my God, who would have thought? Oh, my God, God did. Who would have thought? God did. And I'm loving this process. You know, I wanted to see. Let's take a break. And when we come back, I want to go into the world of photography a little bit because, you know, it's about the approach you bring to it is this helping people to tap into their natural self, their authentic self, because a lot of us don't like our pictures taken. Now, I don't think I always say I don't like my picture taken, but I do. I am aware that there's some kind of resistance because I don't have a lot of pictures. You know, I don't jump in front of a picture when some or camera when they're taken. But I know sometimes because I think, oh, I don't know. I have some unconscious stories going on. And this book helps people to relax into being in front of the camera and in front of the camera of life so we can actually get to experience life to the fullest. And we're going to take a break. And we're going to come back with Celestial Moment and then continue the conversation. I'm just so excited. Can you feel my excitement?
I can.
Thank you, Carl, for being here. I'm so grateful for this conversation. But we're going to take a break. We'll be back. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at A Radio Show on LifeConversationsRadio.com. We welcome all of you listening on the phone line, those of you listening online right now, and those of you listening to the archive right now, because whenever you're listening, it's going to be now. It doesn't matter if it's 10 years from now. We have Four Saggy in the house. Cheryl, silent listeners, we got Spiritual Awakening. That's what it's about. We have Tanya. We have Tam Tam. We have Celeste. We got folks we don't know, folks we can't see, folks who are just trying to be incognito. But we see you. We know who you are. If you want to join in the conversation, want to share your thoughts, if you want to share how, you know, what's coming up for you, what's bubbling up for you, the number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. And, we don't do shout-outs, but if we did, we'll send a shout-out to all the Within Radio listeners, too. But we don't do shout-outs, so don't be offended. Don't think we're ignoring you. But if we did, we'll send a shout-out to you, but we don't do shout-outs. But keep listening anyway, okay?
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Snickerdoodle shortbread, touchy nut bars. How many cheeks in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. To the community. To the community. To the community. To the community.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Many blessings to you too, Brother Jack Armstrong. Ha-ha! Yes, you are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. My guest is Carl Studner, and we have a soulful, brotherly conversation. I trust the process. I'm going to make sure we cover everything, but I'm going to release and let go. It's time for Celestial Moment and give you a time to take a BB break. Or BB, that's it, not a BB break, a BB, and water break. And Celeste, you better be ready. Smile, we're coming to you. Snap, snap. Hey, Celeste, how are you?
Should I say cheese?
Actually, you don't have to say cheese, because Carl will tell you, just be you. Just do you, you know?
That's good. That is good. I'm loving this conversation. And, you know, Carl actually had somebody in the book who's one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, other than you, Life Coach Today. And all the
I was going to say, I thought I was your favorite person in the whole wide world.
Look, man, you can't sing like Kenny Loggins, okay?
No, I can't.
You can't do it. So just stop. But when I heard that Kenny was actually hesitant about having his pictures taken, and I think about all the pictures over the years I grew up with and just how beautiful he is, it really helped me feel better about my hesitancy. I'm really going to push myself. So, Carl, besides your book being inspirational and helping us all reveal our inner light, you really convinced me that if all of these beautiful people, even Karen Drucker, aren't really down with being in front of a camera, well, I can try. I can get out there and do it. There'll be more pictures of me on Facebook, family. So thank you for that, Carl.
Oh, you're so welcome, Celeste.
All right, I'm going to get right to it. I'm looking forward to how much further you guys go. And I think you're right. It is wonderful to hear a brotherly conversation. It's a gift for all of us. So I'm going to get to it now. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. I come bearing a number gift and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. 4 is the energy of the day, and if you happen to be celebrating a birthday, this is your lesson number for the whole year. 4 in numerology is said to be the number of the worker bees. Being orderly and organized, these are the folks you want to go to get it done. 4 also shows up as the Emperor in tarot cards, and it is viewed as the boss of tarot, the great architect, or the father figure. Our 4th chakra is our heart chakra. When it is balanced, we can love deeply, feel compassion, and have a deep sense of peace and centeredness. The 4th letter of the alphabet is D, and words like determined, direct, and divinity connect us to the magical qualities of the number 4. The 4th animal in the medicine cards is the deer, and that's where we're going to put the spotlight today. Deer, so gentle and loving you are, the flower of kindness and embrace from afar. Now love is the strongest force. We are all clear, but the look of love is truly the power of the deer. For when a monster stood in her way to sacred mountain to see great spirit, it was her eyes full of gentleness and compassion and quiet determination that melted the monster right in its tracks. It shriveled up into the size of a walnut. The monster had no other choice but to make way in the wake of a sacred light ray. We too have that power when we're being blocked from our destination. What is showing up as your monster today? Deer teaches us to use the power of gentleness to touch the hearts and minds of wounded beings who are trying to keep us from Sacred Mountain. And understand this, the monster could be you. Let's not choose sides today, but use our energy to see our challenges, hurts, and disappointments through the eyes of love. We'll remove all blocks on the path by first starting with our own barriers to awakening our hearts.
We are not free to pass until we love the monster within all of us. Make a firm decision to walk in a good way. Follow the path of fear by choosing love. And that's the story of four, for your friend, the deer of medicine cards. All is well. I'll see you on Wednesday, around 1, for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Celeste. I just love the way you weave it together, you spider woman, you.
Oh, thank you.
thank you. Ah, celestial moment with Celeste Morgan. I still can't do it, so I better just stop. I just got to stop. Okay, let's move on with this conversation. Thank you, Celeste. I appreciate you. Ah, 347-426-3346 is the number if you want to jump in this conversation. If not, I'm happy to have this conversation with Carl. Destiny Muhammad, Harpist from the Hood, Grace is what you're hearing now. You can find out more about Destiny by going to her website, destinymuhammad.com. Carl, I'm not going to say welcome back because you didn't go anywhere.
Here I am.
Welcome back. He didn't go nowhere. You're right there. You're right in the same spot. Let's talk. You know, we've talked a lot about, for me, it seems like we've covered part of what I'm guessing here, what part of why you wrote the book, getting us, leading us to our authentic self, revealing the light that we are. But let's come back to a little bit of what happens or what your experience when people are taking pictures. Why some of us say, no, don't take a picture of me. Some people will kill you. Like, if you take that picture, I'm going to kill you. What is going on in our mind? Why are we so afraid to have our pictures taken? And there are a few people who would just, they see a camera and they light up. They're like a dog, like, who? Where? Where's the camera? Did I hear a camera? But most of us are like, I don't think so.
And it is in the book I talk about how I really see that in our culture we really do have a dysfunctional relationship with having our picture taken. Most people, there's some that really feel relaxed and enjoy it, but they're pretty rare. And so most people do. And I think there's a number of factors as to why. And everything that we've been talking about up to this point are many of the factors as to why. People feel so uncomfortable, and part of it's social, part of it's growing up with media and people telling you that most people don't grow up just honoring exactly who they are, what they look like, how they feel, how they express themselves. So they, you know, we get this idea like we need to look differently or be differently than we are. So all of that conditioning can come up unconsciously or consciously when you're in front of a camera. And then you mix in with that this dysfunctional idea that someone can pick up a camera and just say, okay, smile, or say cheese, which is so inauthentic. I mean, really? I mean, really? It's like me saying, Eddie, be happy right now. Come on, be happy, you know, and you might not be, you know, you might be in a reflective place or whatever, but me saying, oh, come on, smile, be happy, you know, so that's just, it's just not authentic. Yet most of us are conditioned to have that kind of response and give that kind of direction if we want to take a picture of somebody. So you throw that into the mix, and it's no wonder all these different, you know, all these different things are going on. There's all this conditioning for whether it's conscious or not, where most people have some level of discomfort. And so the first couple chapters really address all of that, and then throughout the book I give tools and just reminders and stories, and people tell stories, as Celeste was saying about Kenny Loggins, there's a number of stories in there, and people are telling stories, and it's all to decondition, you know, this dysfunctional relationship we have so that we can show up. Because imagine this, you know, imagine a new paradigm for what picture taking could be. So imagine that a camera here's a camera that's in front of you, and you look at it and you go, wow, here's a revealer of truth. This instrument's a revealer of truth of wherever my consciousness is, wherever my thoughts, wherever my feelings and my emotions are. So here's this opportunity with this tool in front of me to reveal what is it that I want what aspect of myself, what qualities, what message of who I am, of who I really am, what do I want to reflect? What do I want to reveal? What do I want to express in this moment? Click. And then in this moment, click. And it, and we're, and as you know, we're multidimensional beings. We have all these different aspects of ourselves and different ways of expressing. So imagine the opportunity, if we just fully open to it, of every moment of the click as being that choice point on being able to express our uniqueness in its myriad of hues and all these different colors and shapes and ways of expressing. So the more free we are, and that's part of how I am with people in coaching and going through processes and in opening, so that we can get to the place of feeling let go. And that let go I talk about in the book a lot, being in that let go, and free enough to just express those true, unique gifts and messages of who we are in this moment, and in this moment, and this moment. And part of the purpose of the book, much larger than having a picture taken, obviously, is the metaphor that if you can be that way in front of a camera in every moment, every click, then what a great metaphor and tool for being able to make that conscious choice in each moment of our lives with every situation that we're in. And how are we choosing every moment's thoughts, feelings, ways of expressing, being true to ourselves, being true to our purpose, and how we are in the world.
So true. So true. And you have a way of bringing that to life. You know, I want to talk about the story, how the picture with Reverend Michael came about, Michael Bernard Beckwith, but not right now, because I think it's just beautiful. But what you're talking about, looking at the camera as the revealer of truth, it brings up so much for me, because all I need is a word. It just inspires so much. You know,
yeah.
In your book, you talk about some people don't like the idea of their picture taken because it feels capturing their soul, and you moved away from saying capturing the soul. So you're just, you said you wanted other terms to describe what you do. You're a revealer of truth, as it
yeah.
is in this frame. But in revealing that truth, that one of the stories, which you just shared with us, for me, that speaks to that so much is the story, The Present, by Dr. Joe Dispenza. I love his story. And for me, I really wanted to tell us that story, because not only did he have to shift, you had to shift to
That's
create
right.
something beautiful. So tell us about that story, because I think it's
sure.
just beautiful.
Sure. Okay, so some of you might know of Dr. Joe Dispenza's work. He works with the brain and the ability to shift and change the neural paths in the brain so that we actually, you know, we become conscious of shifting our thoughts and our feelings, our patterns, and what we attract to us. And so I had this session planned with him, and he came over to my home studio, and you know, from the moment we started shooting, it just felt like he wasn't comfortable, he wasn't connecting, and I was doing what I usually do, and just being open and bringing in humor and playfulness, and none of that was seeming to work, meaning that he still continued to feel uncomfortable and kind of stuck, and it wasn't something that he was enjoying.
In your book, didn't he say something about he thought you were trying too hard?
Yeah, later on he told me that, yeah. So later on that was his impression, was that I was trying too hard. So that was his perception. His perception
right.
was I was trying too hard. In my in my perception, I was just being who I am and being playful, and and I find that sometimes when I'm photographing people, sometimes being playful and silly, that's really effective, because joy and humor and laughter help to get people out of their mind and out of their self-consciousness and out of their fears. Because if you're laughing at someone or with somebody, you're not thinking about yourself. So it's,
right.
it's transcending, you know, your thoughts of yourself and just showing up and being present. So joy and laughter and humor often works really well. And sometimes it's too much for people, and for him it obviously was. And then sometimes I'll go into a place of being more still and deep and reflective, and that sometimes is what helps people to just to to slow down and to integrate and to open in greater ways. But with him, you know, it just wasn't happening. So he brought this plastic brain with him because we thought of doing some shots using this brain in some of the pictures. And so I just had the thought, you know, I'd certainly never done anything like this before. No one's ever brought a brain with them before. So I thought, okay, start tossing the brain, you know, with my assistant. So they just start playing, you know, toss the brain to each other. And then he starts relaxing and letting up, and he's having a good time. And I'm taking pictures while the brain's in midair, while he's about to catch it. And something in that shifting of the focus, shifting of the energy, it shifted in him. He was doing something that he enjoyed. It shifted his perspective. And then he wrote about that in the story, that he was able to catch his thoughts and his beliefs and actually shift his whole perspective as a result of everything that was taking place. And because he was able to shift his thoughts and recognize the limiting thoughts, he talked about how when he was growing up, he hated having his picture taken as a child, how his brother loved it, and he made a decision as a young child that having your picture taken meant you had to be stiff or be phony or put on a phony pose. So that's what he had been holding his whole life, was this impression that it's phony, that it's not authentic. So he got to catch that and learn that, you know, that he gleaned that insight and that truth throughout the session. And then once he got that, once we did the tossing of the brain and he started, all of a sudden everything started looking more like, in his perception, it looked like I was being more authentic then. Mm-hmm. In my perception, right. I wasn't being right. more authentic. I was just being, well, I was always being authentic. But right. The point is that he needed something to shift and to open and to have right. that opening for him, to feel more comfortable, ultimately to feel more comfortable. And once he yes. felt safe, and this is a key element, and I think it's true not just with having your picture taken, but in every area of our lives. When we feel safe, and when we feel like we're listened to, and people are trusting us, and we're in a trusting environment, then we can feel open enough, safe enough to let who we are, to let the authentic qualities of who we are really open up and shine forth, and just be. You know, just be, and as you were saying earlier, not without trying. It's not a trying. It's when we're safe enough and trusting enough, and then those emerge. They just naturally emerge, and that's why I never get tired of photographing people, because that's what takes place during the process. Is that opportunity and witnessing that shift in people and letting it be and watching these beautiful, soulful essences come forth, because everybody, as we know, everyone has such a unique essence, and seeing that in the eyes and in the mouth relaxing, in the presence, and then the shot, you look at this picture and it becomes more than just a picture. It becomes a invitation into who this person is and who their message is.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're such a storyteller, and the way you talk about taking picture, what happens, it takes it to a whole new level for me. And I'm looking at your pictures, and listeners, if you go to clickchoosinglove.com and then click the home page, you have to agree to see the picture. And you just don't play around now. Remember spiritual integrity. That's why you have to agree. But I like that. I've never seen that on a website before. But you've got some amazing pictures here of that listeners will relate to, even the musicians. But I'm actually looking at the authors now. And I want to talk about the Michael Beckwith. Yeah, I want that. That's like, because that's just when I heard that story, it's like, wow, that's just awesome. When we trust the infinite, when we trust the voice, when we trust the vision. But I'm looking at the picture you took here with Deepak Chopra.
Yes.
That must have taken some stillness, some breathing, some relaxing. What was that like?
That was a fascinating experience, because
I bet
because he didn't have much time, and his his assistant that came with him, the first thing he said when they walked in the door was, "We only have 20 minutes." and the idea that I had, the concept I had, which was actually, it actually wasn't, I wouldn't even call it my concept, it came through me. It was a, felt more like an inner vision that came through for that whole look of that shot, which is him holding a cup with his hands, cupping this candle in his hands, and like an invitation of being a messenger of light through the picture emanates that. So it took some technical stillness. I mean, literally being still for 5-8 second exposures to get that look. And I used different lights to set it up in a certain way, but a lot of it was lit by the candle. And so he had to be very still. And I only probably shot about 8 pictures of that particular pose because it did take so long. And but he was, you know, he was very willing and still and just followed directions and did what I was asking. And I think that also just because of the nature, which I never said this or thought about it this way before, but just because of the nature of having 5 to 8 seconds per exposure and just being still and looking at the camera, it offered him the opportunity just to truly rest in that still state of authenticity and of being. And so the picture came across, you know, just identically to my inner vision. The same with Michael Beckwith's shot, where occasionally in a meditation I'll get a inner vision for a picture. And then it's, as you were saying about our interview, it's like it's already done. You know, the picture's already complete in the eyes and the mind of the divine. It's already been given to me as a complete manifestation and as a complete feeling and message. And then my role, my opportunity is to just show up, listen, say yes, be the vessel, be the vehicle for lining up all the technical stuff, getting it all together, setting up the, getting the agreement from the person, having them be there, creating the atmosphere, and then taking the pictures. But it's already done. And those two were examples of that inner listening. And when that happens, God, it's just so gratifying because I see it clearly ahead of time, and they always show up. They always manifest exactly like the inner vision.
You know what is fascinating about this picture? So many things coming up for me. So listeners, if you think, what picture are they talking about? Go to choosinglove.com, then click the home button, and then you have option to choose authors, musicians, and different things. Like click authors, and then you see the pictures we're talking about. Well, there's several, and you see the number 8. Sideways. Now, so here's the thing. There's more. But let me say this first. I went to a wedding last year, and the couple had fireworks, and the photographer was trying to get them to use the fireworks to do a heart. And I knew how, not tedious, but they kept trying and kept trying, and then after a while, they finally got it. Like, they looked at us and let's do it again. So with that experience, I can look at yours and say, oh my God. Now, the thing that made me wanted to act like a little boy in kindergarten, like, I know it, was you talked about not enough time, and you have the infinity sign, so yes, there's always time. You said, I only took about 8 pictures, and it's like 8 sideways, and then you said you have to hold it open for 5 to 8 seconds. You know, it's like the message is already around us, and the patience, if we're just willing, not fostering, just kind of saying, okay, what is this moment calling for? Especially if we're dealing with, how do we choose love? You keep saying choose love, and I don't know what to do. Well, just, what is this moment calling for? What is this relationship calling for? What do I need to do? When you talked about Dr. Joe, you were thinking, okay, there's something else that needs to happen here. And then you knew as the reflector of truth,
the revealer of light,
exactly, the revealer of light. It's like, what can I bring to this table? And you know, that analogy can work in all kind of relationships.
That's
where
right.
When we come together, instead of saying, oh, they just fearful. They're just afraid. They got issues. We have an opportunity to say, well, how can I reveal the light here? What is this relationship asking for? Like Richard Morse would say, what is this relationship asking for? Then it allows everybody to benefit. And it's just such a beautiful thing. I mean, I know, I'm looking at this picture, there's something so healing, so meditative about it. And, you're taking picture taking to a whole new meaning.
Yeah, you know, and as you're saying that, you know, it's the reason I came up with the subtitle "Choosing Love One Frame at a Time" is because I was thinking, all right, what is the essence here of what this book's about and what my life purpose is about, and I think and what we as human beings, you know, spiritual beings having a human experience, what are we here to, you know, to learn? And obviously we all have our own unique lessons and our unique life paths, but I really believe that we're all here to open and to learn how to, in our own unique ways, express, rest in, and be and share the essence of love, to choosing love in every moment. So and it's so apparent with every click of the camera, because every click you're seeing where somebody is choosing or not to live in love. It's revealed in every click of a camera. If you're having a photo session, one click you can see the person being completely present and choosing love, you know, and their facial muscles are relaxed, their eyes are present, everything is open and connected, and the very next moment their eyes are glazed or wide-eyed like a deer, or their mouth is tense, you know, and it's just a barometer, and you can see every single moment when or when we're not making that choice. And then, you know, so that just seemed like the most basic example to use as the subtitle, because I really believe that's what it comes down to. And light, I see that light is that love and light, I just can sort of intertwine together, because because the fullness of light to me is the fullness of love. The higher frequency vibrations of light that we are open to, because it's always present and it's always flowing through us. But the more we're open to those higher frequencies of light, then those guide us. Those are love, and that frequency guides us into our greatest forms of expression, our uniqueness, our gifts. It's all there, and as you're saying, it's how do we learn to rest in that trust, and how do we listen? How do we learn to listen?
Right. If you're just joining us, my guest is Carl Studner. He's a photographer, he's a teacher, he's a storyteller, he's a revealer of light, a revealer of truth, and he's a lover of life as well. And we're just talking about how you can choose love one frame at a time. And we all have that opportunity. There's a message in our everyday experience, and it's about getting still enough to hear, to see, and then to reveal, because we all benefit when we listen, when we see it, and then reveal it. Carl, I want to ask you this, because I know I have a lot of female listeners on my show, and especially during when it's live, the brothers listen on the archive, and then they tell me, I'll listen to your show. So I'm like, it's okay, you can listen while the show is live. You're still a man, but what would you say? What would you say to females saying, well, it's all right for him to talk about being authentic in front of a camera. He doesn't have to wear makeup. He doesn't know what it means to be a woman. What would you say to females who feel, there's no way anybody's going to see me without makeup, or there's no way I'm taking a picture without makeup, and this whole authentic self only works for me if I can have my makeup on?
Well, you know, okay, I'll give you an example. So I did an interview with Gaiam Television a couple months ago, and the news woman, anchor woman, Maria Lopez, was doing this interview with me. And I came in a couple of days beforehand, because she had this wonderful idea, and I thought it was great, of taking pictures of her before she had put her makeup on, documenting her while she's putting her makeup on, and then doing shots of her when she's all made up at the anchor desk, you know. Mm-hmm. And we talked about that a little bit in the interview, and they were showing the images, the slides behind us as we're talking. And so here's what I want to say about that. When she showed up, I was with her. She was open to it, so I did a little anchoring blessing with her, a centering. You can call it a centering or a blessing, whatever you want to call it. And we just anchored in the moment, in the truth of the moment, the truth of who she is, the beauty, the perfection, the light, the love. And then that set a tone for her, you know, just being in a calmer, trusting place. She'd just come from the airport. She was rushed. And then I was with her in a way that I am with people, and I took some pictures of her without any makeup on. I used some nice natural light, natural window light, and the pictures are stunning. They're beautiful. She's present. She's beautiful. And then the shots of her at the anchor desk with makeup on and her hair made up and everything is, you know, in that, quote, traditional beauty, she's beautiful there. So I don't, you know, I don't put a judgment or a label on that one is more or less beautiful. I think they're just different expressions of beauty, you know. And right. As a culture, you know, we're so enculturated to feel like we're not beautiful, and especially women, that you know, women are, this is the enculturated thing, I don't believe this, you know, that women aren't beautiful unless they put on that traditional makeup and traditional look of beauty. And I just see that they're both beautiful expressions of light and of beauty. And one, I wouldn't say that one is more beautiful than the other. They're just different. So it's a real opportunity, whether you're reading my book or even it's a great opportunity to have a process of when we are in the let go, when we're relaxed, when we're trusting, when we're feeling safe, when we're feeling open, and letting our essence, our light, our message, our love come through. It doesn't matter if you have makeup on, nothing, none of that matters, because the beauty of your essence is so strong that that's what's going to translate beyond any of the makeup. And the makeup, you know, we just kind of have a conditioned agreement in our culture. You know, it's this conditioned, okay, I'll agree to that. You know, you put up women, put on makeup, not everybody, not all women, but many, put on makeup, have their hair professionally done. I mean, I usually encourage when I do a shoot with women that they use one of my professional hair makeup people, because they give this level of attention, and we just do have this agreement in our society that traditional makeup and hair looking a certain way just is what looks right or acceptable in the professional domain, you know. Mm-hmm. And some women choose not to, and that's fine too. I empower that too. But it's like we have this agreement. So to not get caught up in that, though, is the point. To not think that that's who you are, and that you really are less beautiful without makeup on. It's just you know, in business or professional realms, that's an agreement we have. So you do it, you know. But it doesn't have anything to do with how gorgeous and beautiful you are, just exactly how you look.
Mm-hmm. I so agree with you. I think females is one of females God's greatest invention, as far as I'm concerned. A woman is just like makeup or no makeup, it's like really what I hear from you and what I really believe in is disconnecting, deactivating, dissolving the story behind the makeup or no makeup. Because when the story is dissolved, that then we all get to receive the beauty, the essence of the woman, as opposed to, oh, my God, you know, you imagine going to bed with somebody, or you go to bed, they had their makeup on, and when you wake up, they took it off. You're like, oh, my God, who are you?
Yes.
Get out my
Yes, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's a chapter in the book called Wild Goose Chase, and it's all...
Oh.
part of it's all about that. It's addressing everything we're talking about. And this one guest author writes this beautiful story called Ageless Beauty, and it's so poetic, and it addresses exactly what we're talking about in such a beautiful way.
It certainly does, and we time-wise, I'm definitely bringing you back. If you're available next month, because I feel like we need to continue the conversation.
Yeah.
Because I actually have that that chapter open, Wild Goose Chase. I was in hysterics when I was reading your story. I popped the pill. You feel good. Everything is really good. How you feeling now? How you feeling now?
I'm feeling really good now. I don't need a feel good pill with you.
Right. Hold on a minute. 10:30 in the morning and 1 a.m. I can't sleep. I haven't had anything to eat. That was so funny. I mean, it was so funny. But listeners, if you want to know what we're talking about, it's really simple. Go to Amazon.com and get you a copy. But I want to say this before I really let you go. I don't know how we can tie this together. Maybe we can. But the first thing is, you know, you talked about that inner vision.
Yes.
And talked a bit about how it happened with Reverend Michael. You know, that inner vision, I don't know if they go together, because what I really want to ask you, and hopefully you can link it to the process with Reverend Michael and the picture that you have on your website, is do you have a process that you go through before taking someone's picture and during and after, or do you just kind of just let it unfold?
Well, yes. I think we probably are going to have a lengthier conversation soon. But part of the process I do is the luminescence method, which is a specific method that allows me to get more clear with somebody about who they are, who their essence is beforehand, and it allows them tools to be able to open and to gain greater clarity and to go deeper into their sense of trust and their sense of truth, so that they can just show up. But as far as the inner visions go, those usually come to me when I'm in meditation and I'm just in a still place. And if I'm in this receptive place and I'm asking, and it usually comes with people that I already know or that are public figures that I've been inspired or influenced by, because I have a stronger feeling of who they are and their vibration and their message. So that's why it's, you know, it came with Michael and with Deepak and some others, that because I already felt really strongly their essence and their message, and in the stillness, in the meditation, images will show up, they'll be representational of the essence or the message of that person.
You know, I bust out laughing when you said luminescence, because earlier, well, I had my hand, I opened up to the Wild Goose Chase
yes.
chapter, and I'm trying to see if I can get it. And you mentioned that. I was like, oh, he's there. And then the two things I really wanted to see if I could tie it in, I kept saying, well, I don't think we have time for the luminescence. I just asked that last question. And then you mentioned this, like, oh, my God, it's too much. That's why I bust out laughing. You know, people go, what was funny? I was having a party over here. It's like, I was going to ask it, but I left it out. But, you know, and, I think next time we come back, we'll talk more about the luminescence.
Love to share more about that, and give a little closed eyes process too, because that gives an little experience as well. So that'd be fun.
You know, I don't really know what to say from this point on. I mean, because if I say thank you, all of that's like, yeah, I'm grateful for this conversation, but my heart is full, my soul is expanding, and I am so in deep gratitude for this conversation we've had, and I thank you for saying yes to allowing this book to be birthed through you, and giving us all an opportunity to choose love and really get to see ourselves, pun intended, to see ourselves differently. And because that's really what it's about. It's time to stop fighting the natural expression of who we are. We say what's wrong with the world. What's wrong with the world is because we're not trying to see ourselves. And you're helping us see ourselves. And when we see ourselves for the love, as the light, as beauty, then we can see that in the world. So thank you, thank you, thank you. From the
bottom.
Oh, and
I'm so And I'm so grateful for your essence and your just radiant spirit glowing, you know, through this phone and through, you know, through the radio waves. It's just so strong and so powerful. And I've just been ignited and in this constant smile the whole time we've been talking. And it's just been such a pleasure. I so appreciate you.
Thank you, Carl. And please give our love to your beautiful wife, Cynthia James. And
sure
tell
will.
Her that she's going to be getting an invite from us soon, because we need a Cynthia fix. We start to twitch.
I'll tell her.
Thank you very much, Carl.
Be well.
Be well. Ah, yes, I am well. I am grateful. I am in great attitude. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, indeed. If we, you know, I know sometimes it's challenging. I know sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we get caught up in our own story. We get caught up in what we were told or what we can. But if we could just find the courage to say yes to ourselves. Oh, I mean, what I'm feeling, I know I'm not the only one feeling this. And what you're feeling, I just invite you to allow yourself to be with that. And don't hold on to it. But just let it shift you, you know, breathe it in, because the world needs you. Some of you that are listening doing your work right now. But I just want to say it is so, so important that whatever you're doing that is liberating you and liberating others. It really, I know this sounds oxymoronic, but it really doesn't have to be hard. But sometimes it is, because you're in the human body. And the truth is, this is another thing that I really believe. Well, I guess it's all about our interpretation of what hard is. Being yourself is sometimes the hardest thing to do on this planet, because everything tells you not to be. You know, you're told to smile, as Carl was sharing with us. Smile, you're supposed to be happy. If we take a picture and we're not happy or smiling, people say, you look so sad. What was wrong? So then next time we take a picture, it's like, I can't stand those people asking me that dumbass question about you. So I'm just going to smile. We tell children, smile. And they say, no, don't smile like that. Smile like this. It's time to liberate ourselves and just say, click, click, I'm choosing love. One frame at a time. And if you want to choose love or support yourself in being in the love that you've chosen, because you're listening, so you've already chosen the love, but I really encourage you to get a copy of Carl's book. It's clickchoosinglove.com and play around in his website. The pictures are amazing. But I'm so full. Let's see. Actually, well, I just wrap up the show. I'm ready to wrap up. Oh, no. We're not wrapping the show up. What are you talking about? Who is this talking? We release the show. We don't wrap up the show. We release it because there's nothing to wrap up. We want to let it out. I so love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. As I always tell you, there's one of us, but, you know, we all co-created this show. We co-produced this show. And we're co-hosting it because your thoughts, your feelings, everything you're moving through, the things you thought about or you agreed with or disagreed with, created what you're hearing now. So I just want to ask you to maybe take some time with yourself and ask, where am I holding back? Where am I not being true to myself? Where do I need to express myself some more? Am I really that light? Am I really that beautiful? There's some females particularly say, all my life I never felt beautiful. You are. You are. And if you don't believe me, just let that thought go. Okay, I'm not going to force it down your throat, but you are beautiful. You can't not be beautiful. You're an expression of beauty. You are God in action. I mean, come on. Don't listen to that BS. Yeah, whatever you BS belief system and the other bullshit. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Set it all free. It's time to release the show. Be love. It's the essence of who you are. Be true to yourself. You deserve it. And allow the love to flow in and out of you. Be loved. Tomorrow, we're continuing the conversation. The topic is loving what is. It's the theme for the month. And I'll just see what wants to be birthed, what wants to come through. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what I'm going to share.
But I say yes, it is sometimes scary. But if you can allow yourself to just, if you can allow yourself to allow God to move through you, allow love, allow goodness to move through you, it will blow you away. It will blow your consciousness, your mind. It will blow your mind. There you go. And your consciousness expands. I offer this prayer to you through Karen Drucker. And to find out more about her, her website address is karendrucker.com. The show is archived. The Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show is Monday to Wednesday, 12 to 2 p.m. And Thursday we have the Play Experience. Play Experience with Ambassador Sofera, and on Sunday, Ambassador Sofera, 7 p.m. Eastern, and on Sunday we have the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan at 8 p.m. Eastern. And this is a prayer. In beauty may I walk. In beauty may you walk. And ladies, you are beautiful. If no one told you today, I want to tell you, I love you and you are beautiful. Reveal the truth of who you are. We want to see you. I'm out.
All day long may I walk. Through the seasons may I walk. May I walk in peace. May I walk in peace. On this path may I walk. Through my life may I walk. In old age
Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.